That looks pretty big, Dad.
And everyone had looked around at the weed-covered buildings and had shared the thought, which remained unspoken, but was made up of a lot of little thoughts, like the occasional ripples in the pools and the little splashes in the dark water of cellars that made the mind think of claws, winnowing the deeps, and the odd things that sometimes got washed up on the beaches or turned up in nets. Sometimes you pulled things over the side that had put a man off fish for life. And suddenly, no one wanted to explore any more, just in case they found something. Solid Jackson pulled his head back under the cover.
"Why ain't we going home, Dad?" said his son. "You said this place gives you the willies."
"All right, but there aren't more pork willies, see? And no foreigner's going to get his hands on them."
"Dad?"
"Yes, lad?"
"Who was Mr. Hong?"
"How should I know?"
"Only when we was all heading back for the boats, one of the other men said, 'We all know what happened to Mr. Hong when he opened the Three Jolly Luck Takeaway Fish Bar on the site of the old fish god temple in Dagon Street on the night of the full moon, don't we?' Well, I don't know."
"Ah." Solid Jackson hesitated. Still, Les was a big lad now.
"He closed up and left in a bit of a hurry, lad. So quick he had to leave some things behind."
"Like what?"
"If you must know, half an ear hole and one kidney."
"Cool."
The boat rocked and wood splintered. Jackson jerked the cover up. Spray washed over him. Somewhere close in the wet darkness, a voice shouted,
"Why are you not carrying lights, you second cousin of a jackal?"
Jackson pulled out the lantern and held it up.
"What are you doing in Ankh-Morpork territorial waters, you camel-eating devil?" "These waters belong to us. We were here first." "Yeah, we were here first." "We were here first. You damaged my boat. That's piracy, that is."
There were other shouts around them. In the darkness, the two flotillas had collided. Bowsprits tore away rigging, hulls boomed. The controlled panic that is normal sailing became the frantic panic composed of darkness, spray, and too much rigging coming unrigged. At times like this, the ancient traditions of the sea that unite all mariners should come to the fore and see them combine in the face of their common foe, the hungry and relentless ocean. However, at this point, Mr. Arif hit Mr. Jackson over the head with an oar.
What?
Vimes opened the only eye that appeared to respond. A horrible sight met it.
"I rid him his rights, whereupon he said, 'Up yours, copper.' Sergeant Detritus then cautioned him, upon which he said, 'Ouch.'"
"There may be a lot of things I'm not good at," thought Vimes, "but at least I don't treat the punctuation of a sentence like a game of pin the tail on the donkey." He rolled his head away from Carrot's fractured grammar. The pile of paper shifted under him. Vimes's desk was becoming famous. Once there were piles, but they had slipped as piles do, forming this dense, compacted layer that was now turning into something like peat. It was said there were plates and unfinished meals somewhere down there. No one wanted to check. Some people said they'd heard movement. There was a genteel cough. Vimes rolled his head again and looked up into the big, pink face of Willikins, Lady Sybil's butler. His butler, too, technically, although Vimes hated to think of him like that.
"I think we had better proceed with alacrity, Sir Samuel. I have brought your dress uniform, and your shaving things are by the basin."
"What? What?"
"You are due at the university in half an hour. Lady Sybil has vouchsafed to me that if you are not there, she will utilise your intestines for hosiery accessories, sir."
"Was she smiling?"
said Vimes, staggering to his feet and making his way to the steaming basin on the washstand.
"Only slightly, sir."
"Oh, gods."
"Yes, sir."
Vimes made an attempt at shaving, while behind him, Willikins brushed and polished. Outside, the city's clocks began to strike 10. It must have been almost 4 when I sat down, Vimes thought. I know I heard the shift change at 8, and then I had to sort out Nobby's expenses. That's advanced mathematics if ever there was some. He tried to yawn and shave at the same time, which is never a good idea.
"Damn!
I shall fetch some tissue paper directly, sir,"
said Willikins, without looking round. As Vimes dabbed at his chin, the butler went on, "I should like to take this opportunity to raise a matter of some import, sir."